Ready, down, put, 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 put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde. He joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, dude.
What's happening?
You tell me.
Oh, I mean, after the first segment we had, you're a very welcome reprieve.
It could have been that bad. Could it have been? Oh, yeah, probably.
I thought it was great.
Jason, I guess, how serious is the calf injury for Josh Jacobs that he needed to really campaign for himself to playing in the game? And do we need to be worried about this kind of slowing him down going forward?
Yeah, so I do think it's a concern. Now, he did get medical clearance to play. Like, he didn't go rogue like that time Brett Favre ran back onto the field with a concussion and threw a touchdown pass, and Mike Sherman didn't even know what was happening. But, is it something that was potentially an issue and could have been made worse? Yes, I think that's fair to say. But, like, I don't know. I know Rob Domofsky took video of his workout. Like, it looked like they put him through a pretty rigorous workout before the game to make sure that it could stand up. I'm just calf muscle strains make me nervous. As I've said, I just always think of Kevin Durant, and it always feels to me like there's a danger that it's simply a precursor to blowing out your Achilles, which is then a season-ending injury. And as we saw with this quarterback that the Packers are going to play this week, I don't know if anybody's heard of him. I'm being told that this is not a story. That's just a story for us. But it takes a while to get your game back when you suffer that injury. So my only apprehension was, if when you have a calf issue, the calf bone's connected to the Achilles bone, and that makes me nervous.
Jason, I read Pete Doherty's article in the Press Gazette, and he addressed the running game, and he said the reason the running game has not been great is because the run blocking of the offensive line has been caca. What do you think?
I didn't know that Pete used the word caca.
I'm in a mood today, Jason.
That's the word on the street, buddy.
Yeah.
which is great. I think we need things to be spiced up once in a while.
This is what makes Chewy Chewy.
Got to do it. Well, and let's be honest, it's easy for me to say that. I got about 15 minutes of it, and then I'm done.
That's enough.
On the other hand. But hey, I have my own times with our other favorite former NFL player. So let's be honest. Look, I think it's been better, right? I mean, the idea that you can shuffle guys in or have guys play one play and then have his replacement play in two different spots of the same game like Jordan Morgan had to do, I'm sure that is a problem, and I'm sure that has factored in to their running game production, but I think it's looked a lot better. Like the touchdown that Jacobs had in the Bengals game. Now, I don't like it when normal, everyday, common people like myself say things like, oh, I could have run that one, or I could have thrown that pass. I always think that is ridiculous. Or Jesse saying he could play an entire inning at second base for a minor league baseball team. Like, I don't really like to say that, but if you look at the touchdown run that Jacobs had, you know, they were joking about it afterward, that it was like the Red Sea parting in the Bible. That's pretty good blocking when you're able to do that. So I think it's getting better. I think Aaron Banks is a really key piece of that. And I'm not an offensive line aficionado to the degree that I can say, you know, he's played this poorly in these games and now he's played better in these games. I think the Pro Football Focus grades indicate, though, that, you know, he's playing better. You're no matter how good of a running back you are, and I think Josh Jacobs is a phenomenal running back, you're not going to be nearly as productive if you're getting most of your yardage after contact. And that's what he dealt with last year with, I thought, an offensive line that had even more cohesiveness. And that's what he's dealt with for a good chunk of this year. So if those guys can get out there for extended periods together finally, then I think you'll see that get better.
Well, I'm just going off of what LaFleur said, because he said they played a lot of four shell. The quickest way to get someone out of four shell is to run the ball. You run the ball real well because the safeties right. are back. It's essentially man on man. And I'm just saying, from the you should be gashing them. You gash them, they got to get out of four shell. They got to bring someone up in the box, which only helps the passing game, if that's what teams are going to do from here on out.
To that point, Jason, is because it feels like, and again, they're 4-1-1. They've scored 27 points in all of their wins. They scored 40 points in the tie. So the offense certainly has looked good at moments, but to me it feels like there's something missing. Is that something missing just running the ball a little bit more efficiently, and that can unlock everything else?
Yeah, and look, they also, for the first chunk of the season, were seeing a lot of, you know, 7-8-man boxes, and they were pretty hell-bent on stopping Josh Jacobs.
And then you saw some pretty good first halves from Jordan Love. Like, I think of the first half that he had against Detroit, the first half that he had against Washington. He put up some pretty good numbers, but now it seems like teams realize, oh, we don't need that extra man in the box to really slow down this running game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought Jacobs ran the ball really well against Cincinnati. And,
yes.
But to your point, you know, LaFleur even told us, like, he went over to the offensive line early in that game and said, and I'm sure this was the sanitized version of his phrasing, but he said, look, if we're not going to be able to run the ball against a two-shell defense, it's going to be a long day. Mm-hmm. And he basically challenged the offensive line to take control of the game. And they did. I mean, look, Jacobs finished that game with 150 total yards from scrimmage. And he's had three straight two-touchdown games now again. Like, and look, it's my job to be critical too. But I am, to some degree, Team LaFleur on the idea of it's six games into the season. They're trying to figure it out. They've won in spite of their flaws. And if they can get through this and then get things figured out where they're playing at a high level in late November, December, and January, then it's all worth it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I still think, and you know, keeping in mind that I'm old, like Chewy,
mm-hmm.
like, I still think that they're using, and this isn't the Packers, it's everybody, the first month plus of the season to figure out what they are, because they don't play, like...
Oh, that's I think that's evident across the league, Jason, with what we've seen through these first 6 weeks.
Like, I used to love the third preseason. Like, you know, you guys know, I love the preseason because of all the guys that are the Kevin Case Vaharns and the, you know, all these guys trying to make a name for themselves and make a team. I love it. But I also used to love the third preseason game when Holmgren made you guys play into the third quarter because I actually got an idea of what you were. And we just don't have that anymore, and that's why we spend as much time as we do during games that actually count trying to figure out what a team is.
Jason, is Luke Musgrave just a guy? Seems like Fitzpatrick's starting to get more involved than he is.
Mm-hmm.
Is he just, is he going to be the number three soon?
Yeah, I mean, I got a text from our buddy Tom Oates, the columnist emeritus from the State Journal, asking essentially the same question. And again, you know, we make jokes about, because look, Goody has been a very good GM. He's made some really, really good, really good draft picks and signed really good free agents, but he's not infallible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, this is unfair to say about Josh Myers, but when you draft a guy in the second round, especially one pick before another center who ends up being one of the best in the league in Creed Humphrey, like, he started 50 games, but it felt like they were never happy with him, right? That's a second-round pick. We all know the track record on third-round picks that basically Tucker Kraft broke a streak of really disappointing third-round picks. But now Luke Musgrave is a second-round pick. You can't have John Fitzpatrick playing ahead of you. Like, you can't do that. Like, you're supposed to be better than him. And, you know, there's been a couple times when I've watched back on games where I'm like, oh, my God, why did they ask Luke Musgrave to block this guy? Do they not know who he is? And so, look, I prefer my guys at that position to be more like you, who could do everything. Like, and if you're not going to be able to be a well-rounded tight end, you better be God's gift to catching passes, right? I mean, yeah. J. Mike, not the most engaged blocker either. Some called him names and ended up on Pro Football Talk. But
he's like, talking about you.
Time, like, yeah, I know more.
Yeah, well, he knows.
I think, Jason, I think when it comes to Musgrave, he's the perfect example of he's just someone that can't process fast enough. If he's blocking a guy and that guy pre-snap moves, he just can't. He can't process. And if you can't process, I don't care if you run a 4-2 and you can lift the world, you can't play. You can't play. And I just think that's what it is with him.
Right. And if, like, if he's, if his strength is as a pass catcher, which is how he was billed to us, you know, that has been inconsistent as well. Mm-hmm. I would also add that the Packers, people forget this, but the Packers took a chance on him. Like, his last year, this was like an NBA draft a guy based on potential, and sometimes you get it right and the guy's Dirk Nowitzki, and then sometimes you do it and you're like, well, that was a bad pick. I mean, he played two games his last year at Oregon State. And so they were betting on him and his potential. And they, you know, they followed that up with a third-round pick on a guy that had played at South Dakota State and who grew up playing like eight-man football. And one has turned out to be a stud, and one, you know, let's be honest, it's been kind of a dud. So it's a crapshoot, I get it. But I just remember training camp his rookie year.
Yeah.
He was as buzzworthy as a player in the summer that we've had in years.
Oh, I mean, but even those first eight games, Jason, it was, man, once this guy catches the ball, if he figures out how to stay on his own 2 feet, he is going to be a, because he would be getting open. And he would catch it, and then for whatever reason, just fall. He'd be like a deer on ice suddenly after the ball. He would be so athletic to get open. Ball would touch his hands, and suddenly the athleticism would leave his body. But you saw the potential in those first eight games until he got hurt.
Yeah, I love a good Bambi reference. So perfect. Well executed.
Just finally, before we let you go, Jason, did the Packers see the transformation that Keyshawn Nixon did from slot to outside and go, oh, yeah, we can do that with anybody? And now they're just miscasting Nate Hobbs on the outside.
Yeah, well, I think Matt LaFleur is going to be offended by that because he gave a Chris McIntosh level vote of confidence to Nate Hobbs yesterday, and I'm a little more.
I would tell him the same thing that I would tell Chris McIntosh. We all have eyes.
Yeah, exactly. He also tried to tell us that the Rodgers thing is a story just for us, which. You know, I don't think that's true. Like,
This is just the way that has to go, though, Jason. Like, they say that during the week, and then the first things he's going to say post game at the podium is how, you know, this was actually important. They downplayed it, yada yada yada.
Well, I mean, and I will say this. I mean, Jordan Love and Rodgers have an authentically good relationship. Rodgers really did take what he experienced with Chewy's guy. And vowed not to be a hypocrite and was great to Jordan. But, you know, Jordan wants to play well against his guy. I mean, there's no two ways about it. To your point about Nate Hobbs, like, yeah, my question is, you know, do you like him better than you like Javon Bullard in the slot even at this point?
I can't imagine because Bullard's been so good. So I don't know what you do with Hobbs. Like they just decided because it was very obvious the way they approached this offseason, Jason, that they wanted Bullard to be the slot guy. And Bullard has stepped up and answered the call, certainly. And they just thought that they could do the same thing to me that they we did this once with a cornerback who looked like he was a really good slot guy, moved to the outside, and Keyshawn Nixon has had success. And they thought they could do the same thing with Hobbs, and it just hasn't gone as smoothly as the transition did for Keyshawn.
Yeah, I didn't love the signing of him right away, but it was more because like he's never played a full season.
Yeah,
he does hit like he is. You know, Tausch teases me all the time for watching a few of his games on NFL Plus and say, "God, this guy is physical." But you never heard me say after they signed him, "God, this guy can really cover." But I do think that, you know, his physicality, and I even had a conversation with him about this during training camp, is it both a blessing and a curse? Is it a detriment? I mean, the guy got hurt on like July 31st, hitting a guy he wasn't supposed to be hitting the way he hit him mm-hmm. in a practice. And maybe his knee has been an issue the whole time, and that's a factor in him getting cooked, right?
Yeah.
But again, that's self-inflicted. You did something in practice that you're not supposed to do. So I'm going to give Matt LaFleur a little bit of grace and say, "Okay, you put it out there. You believe in this guy. He's going to bounce back. We're going to be watching to see if he does." And I am skeptical that he will, but I'm open to being proven wrong.
Appreciate it, Jason. We'll talk to you again on Thursday.
I can't wait to go back on the ESPN Wisconsin app and hear this world-famous first segment.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that before I start my show.
I guess it'll be a good example of what not to do for your show.
I believe we have a few examples of those over the years. All right, boys, take care. Be good.
See ya.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Totally rad, bro. October is National Pizza Month, and I challenge you turn your taste buds upside down with Stranger Things Surfer Boy Frozen Pizza as you fuel up for one last adventure.